Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
I always like playing that one like once a month because it's so inaccurate. It's like the most fake news. I don't come up with some of these, but this is what I think about that one.
You are fake news.
Especially the memory part. I can't remember what happened yesterday. I will tell you that. Hey, John Morosky has been a great contributor to this show over the years on a variety of topics, and he works over at Real Clear. You know, Real Clear Politics, which I mention all the time. People say to me sometimes, what are your sites that you go to? And I go to a lot, and I subscribe to a lot. But I always recommend, and this is for, I don't care what side of politics you're on. If you're on the left, if you're a libertarian, if you're in the middle, if you're on the right, Real Clear is awesome because it just compiles opinion pieces and news from across the country. So if you just want to kind of start your day with Real Clear Politics, you can see all kinds of stories covered from both perspectives or from a variety of perspectives. But John is on the Real Clear investigation side, and he's exposed a lot of the nonsense that's gone on the trans issues, on college campuses, etc. And I don't know if you've noticed, guys, but you probably have. It's Pride Weekend coming up here in St. Louis, so all the streets are shut down. It's a big deal. The Pride flag basically flies as high as the American flag. I did take note, though, at the memorial across the street, they do not have the Pride flag this year, and they had it last year, which I think I support. But he's got a new report, and I want to get him on either tomorrow or the next day. You know who has really, or what group has really taken on this, Pride Month banner, if you will, and run with it in disgusting ways are public libraries. And they have, as he has really outlined in this latest report, book displays featuring queer-themed titles written for all ages, from like toddlers to teens and adults. They go into North Carolina in Wake County. And this is what he says. Civil servants are not just a benign celebration of gay dignity, hugging couples and gay families, which basically I thought was Pride Month. That's what it was all about, right? Acceptance and all that. I don't have any problem with that. I don't know why they have an entire month. I don't know why they have a huge, huge event downtown. I certainly don't know why there is a Pride Disability Night at Busch Stadium. That one stuck out, if you will, from the weekend. But he goes to 23 libraries in just this one county, and says in his report that Pride Month has matured into a national political event that celebrates cross-dressing, drag queens, kink, BDSM, which is bondage, domination, poppers, recreational drugs used at sex clubs. Here's my favorite, and I can't even pronounce the word. I think it's mashalania. You know what that is? You guys know what that is?
Nope.
Mashalania, no. Armpit fetish. Yeah. Polyamory, consensual non-monogamy, solo polyamory, don't even ask, he says, and other declarations of the flesh. That's what's happening at public libraries. This is why, by the way, when the Post-Dispatch and others try to do stories on what's happening, usually it's in St. Charles County, about libraries, they always say that there's, you know, book banning and stuff. It's not book banning. It's the same way that my daughter, who's 10 years old, can't go into her school and Google and have access to everything that's out there on the internet, because there should be, we as parents should have controls, but schools have to have limitations as well. But these public libraries have just gone way lefty on some of this stuff. In his report in Real Clear Investigations is quite stunning, and I hope to get him on the air here in the next couple of days. Sue's News is coming up here in a bit. You know, usually on Wednesdays, Sue, as you know, our friend Alex Rich visits with us. He's about to get married this Saturday. He couldn't come in because he's busy preparing for the wedding, but I am going to get him on a little bit later in the hour, about 4:45, because I want to touch base just quickly. Plus, I kind of have a funny story that you guys will not be surprised about when it comes to Alex's wedding, which I am attending this weekend. The other thing that I was going to share a couple of days ago, and I was reminded of this just driving in today. One of my pet peeves on the roads is when people follow too closely.
Oh, yeah.
When they tailgate. Now, there's two types of people that do this, in my opinion. There's the type that they're trying to be aggressive and move you out of the way. And look, I drive relatively quickly. If I'm in the left lane and I'm being aware, if I see someone coming up on me, well, I'm going to try to get over if I can, if they're going faster than
Good.
Me.
Okay.
But some people think that the best way to attack that is not to give a little space, but to just get right up on your ass, right?
Yeah.
That does not end up well for the person behind
No.
me, and oftentimes.
Well, anybody, it's very dangerous.
It is dangerous. But here, I have to tell you a story, because I was driving my daughter, and our neighbor is helping take care of my daughter during the summer a little bit, and we were taking him to this place where, that's one of those climbing gyms or whatever they're called.
Oh, yeah.
This one is in Sunset Hills. But anyway, Amanda's 15, and she has her permit. She doesn't have her license. She's going to be 16 this summer. So last week, I was offering advice on driving, and I was talking about how you really need to give space between one car or the other. And it's amazing to me, and I saw someone do this today, where they were just driving on 44. It wasn't in the left lane. It didn't look like someone who was trying to send a message, hey, get over. It was just someone following way too closely. Now, I remember and we're all old enough to remember that you had driver education in high school. At least I did.
Heck,
did
yeah.
You, friend?
Yeah.
Stephanie Smith and I, because of alphabetical.
Look at that. So
what
was the rule? The rule is if you're driving and you can't see the front tires of the other car behind you, they're following too closely, right?
Yeah, I can't remember the specifics, but yes.
But generally, that's a pretty good rule.
Yeah.
So we left my house going to this climb. I forget the name of it. I can't remember what it is. But Amanda was in the front seat. Alexa was in the back. We're on this little road where I live, and we have to go out the other way by Paradise Valley because of Hillsborough Road being closed. And I had just had this conversation like a week ago about following too closely. And lo and behold, and this is how quickly it can happen. There's a place where I pass by every day that has firewood, and they chop up the wood, and there's trucks that deliver or pick up the wood as well. So I noticed that there was somebody on the fence that was kind of leaned over, and they had a flashlight or something. I don't even know what it was. I was just distracted for a moment because I'm looking at that guy, and all of a sudden, the car in front of me slams on the brakes.
Ooh.
Because the truck in front of that person decides to hit the brakes and back up into the parking lot of this guy who has firewood. But,
oh.
I mean, it was one of those, oh, but for
yes.
the grace of God. And here I am trying to coach this kid as a young driver, warning her about following too closely. And I wasn't following too closely.
Thank goodness.
But if I was, I guarantee you I would have hammered the person in front of me.
Yeah.
Then the other concern became the person behind me, because then the first thing you do
right.
is you look in your rearview mirror, and luckily there was space. But I have the technology, I think a lot of the cars have this right now, where it'll beep at you.
Yeah.
But I mean, I had to hit the brakes, and I had to hit the brakes fast. And I will admit that I was a little distracted because of the person that was standing on the fence. I don't even know who the person was. I don't think they worked at that business. But it's a good lesson, and mm-hmm. it's amazing to me how many people do not follow that rule, where they follow way too closely, way too closely. So I just wanted to share that briefly here before Sue's News, which is coming up on a Wednesday edition next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Well, that media rabble-rouser, former Fox 2 reporter Elliot Davis, is going to join us at the bottom of the hour. I mentioned earlier also Alex Rich often joins on Wednesday afternoons. His wedding, his long-awaited wedding, is this weekend. And I just want to share a quick story about that. And Alex is going to jump on with us after Elliot in the next half hour. Right now, we got to do this afternoon.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
Today is National Parchment Day, National Strawberry Parfait Day, and National Catfish Day.
Well, I like some good catfish every once in a while.
Do you? I don't know that I do. What does it taste?
Well, you fry it. I mean, you can fry anything and make it taste good. I like fried catfish, like a catfish sandwich or something like that. I used to fish, you know, for a lot of different types of fish, but I used to fish for catfish long back in the day. I used to like to cook it up, Sue.
What about you, Fred?
I'm embarrassed to say, I don't think I can really tell the difference between a lot of different fishes.
Okay, the catfish you can, because it's got that whisker thing.
Well, he means the taste, right?
With you on that.
Well, when it's fried, I mean, sometimes you can't. Ethan, put a little sauce on it or whatever.
I like all fish.
I would say out of all the fishies to eat, catfish is probably towards the bottom for me. Frying stuff is just, like you said, it's good because it's fried is basically the reason that I just heard. Yeah. I think there's a lot of fish out there that taste better for different reasons.
Hey, can we go back to National Parchment Day, though? Because I'm very curious about
that one. Absolutely. Yeah. If you want to write on parchment, I think that's what they're talking
Fred,
about.
Fred, you still do that?
Oh, yeah, I do. I write our whole show on parchment.
By the way, the
with a ink, with a dip. A pen,
a feather,
a quill.
Sure.
Sue, are you doing any birthdays later?
No.
Okay, I have to highlight one thing for my daughter because today is Benson Boone's birthday. And she, you know, he's kind of broken out as one of the big artists with young people in particular. He was on American Idol. We talked about it a couple of weeks ago. He ditched out of American Idol after making the top 24 and decided to make a run on his own. He's been immensely successful. But Alexa's going to see him at Summerfest in Milwaukee next weekend, and she points out it's Benson Boone's birthday today.
Question.
He's only like 23.
Does he have a unfortunate mustache?
He does
Okay, then I do know who he is.
I don't get that. I don't get any of the unfortunate mustache. Look, that's not just a younger person thing either.
Oh, no. It is not.
Do you understand it?
No.
Because far be it for me to judge a man.
No,
just a bad one?
It's not full.
Yeah, it's pretty light.
It's
pretty
light.
It's like the skinnier ones,
right? It does not do him any favors.
Yeah, he's a good-looking guy.
I agree.
Is that a Tom Selleck mustache?
No, like you had a Tom Selleck mustache, Fred, for years.
Did he?
Well, yeah, big bushy mustache. These are a little bit more thin.
Yeah, and I'd say if it goes with your face and it it makes you look good, okay, whatever works. This is not a...
I've yet to see someone with a modern mustache look good. That's just me.
Well,
but I'm, again, I'm not the one that matters, really, especially
fair.
If you're heterosexual.
Well, I guess we could focus on National Strawberry Parfait Day, which actually sounds good to me. Okay, now we are going to play a little bit of audio, Mark. She said, giving him a heads up.
I got it here.
32 years ago today, in 1993, this movie came out starring Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan.
Something must be missing if Jonah still feels that you're under a cloud. And just a few questions. Are you sleeping at night?
He doesn't sleep at all.
How do you know that?
I live here, Dad.
Look, it's Christmas. Maggie, my wife, she really did it. She loved it. She made everything beautiful.
I've never gone back and watched that movie in modern
times. You have to watch
in modern times, though.
You
don't have gone back. I've done a lot of 70s and 80s movies.
Yes.
But the scene with, that's Rob Reiner's mother, who is in the, the orgasm scene? Can we just call it is?
That's not in this
movie. Oh, that's When Harry Met Sally, isn't it? Oh!
Yeah.
See, I'm confusing my Tom Hanks movies a little bit, too.
It's easy to do. This one is the Meg Ryan, and this is where Rita Wilson retells the story of a movie back in you know, she gets
is she
hit
the wife
by the
then?
Taxi, and it, well, she's the wife of a friend in this movie. Okay. Anyway, you should all watch
well,
it. It's a good
movie. I don't remember it because I haven't gone back and watched it. Yeah. I've probably only seen that movie once, maybe twice.
I've never even heard of it.
It's a classic.
Young
it would
man.
Be a classic.
What's it called?
Sleepless in Seattle.
Oh, I'm going to Seattle next week.
It's a romantic movie.
It is.
Ethan,
okay.
You and your wife probably would love it.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, right. Yeah.
I love Tom Hanks, so can't
right?
go wrong with it.
I think you'll love it. And I threw this in because what? 26 years ago, in 1999, after four failed marriages, Jean-Claude Van Damme remarried his third wife, Gladys, making her wife number 3 and wife number 5, and they are now celebrating their 26th anniversary of their second attempt at marriage today.
I find it interesting that her name is Gladys.
Well,
can I just say that?
And I can't pronounce it. It's Gladys Partavima. so that's why she's just Gladys.
She was marriage number 3
and number
marriage
five.
Number 5. That reminds me of Trump, 45 and 47. That's what that reminds me
yeah,
of.
Yeah, well, there you go. Okay, now and again we see lists of things that older people did that kids will never have to do, like Ethan here, like loading film into a camera.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, that was
a thing.
Yeah. Did you ever have to do that at all, Ethan?
Uh-uh. Nope.
Yep.
And programming a VCR. Okay, one I hadn't thought of is covered by Nate. Is it Bargatze?
Bargatze.
Yeah, listen to this. It kind of made me laugh.
Okay, this is a long clip. Are we going to play the whole thing here?
Well, see
all right,
how it
let's
goes.
See what happens.
When I first started going on the road, I would have to do a wake-up call. That's how I got up in the morning. I'd have to call a guy I don't know and just be like, will you wake me up tomorrow? That's the last person I would talk to is him. I would call my wife, then a man I've never seen. You promise you go wake me up tomorrow? We would tell each other good night. So no one's done a wake-up call in probably 20 years now. So there's a guy on the road with us. He's 24 years old. He's never done a wake-up call in his life. And so we were staying at a hotel, and he saw the wake-up call on the phone. And he goes, I'm going to do a wake-up call. And I told him, I go, don't do it. That's like an ashtray on an airplane.
True.
But he was like, no, I want to do it. All right. So he set it up. Next morning, his phone rings. He doesn't answer the phone. He doesn't know that's the main part of your job. You got to answer the phone and let the guy know you're awake. So then that guy, who's young too probably, is like, I guess I gotta go knock on the door. So he goes out and he starts knocking on the door. My buddy still doesn't answer the door. So the guy goes in the room.
Oh!
I swear this is real. Because look, this is two young people that don't know what they're doing. So he goes in the room like, do I have to touch this guy? But he had to touch him, I swear. That's when he told me he woke up to another guy going, hey, buddy. It's time to wake up.
That is awesome. So that was worth playing. That was worth playing for sure.
Hey,
Nate,
buddy.
You know, has really been a mentor, if you will, and a compatriot, maybe not even a mentor, but really worked a lot and promoted Greg Warren, our great comedian from St. Louis, who has a new special on Nate's channel. And we just had Greg on a few weeks ago. But that's a funny bit.
Come on.
There you have an example of comedy that doesn't, you know, even though I'm fond of profanity, doesn't have profanity, just tells a story, a relatable story. And that's awesome. That was really good.
It's two young people. They don't know what they're doing. All right. There is a new report out on America's most trusted brands, and it weighed the reputation of thousands of brands. We're talking about restaurants, groceries, household products. But what's interesting is they broke it down by generation. So what are we, by the way? Fred, what are you? Are you a boomer? I think you are.
I think I am.
Okay.
Yeah.
For you, the most trusted brand is Kleenex. Followed by Dawn dish soap, UPS, Tylenol, and Band-Aid. All right, Gen X.
That makes sense, though.
That does kind of make sense.
We're Gen X.
Yeah, we're Gen X.
I've used all of those in the past week.
See, there you go. You're very brand loyal.
Yeah.
I bet Tylenol's not going to be in the next one.
For Gen X, the most trusted brand is Dawn dish soap, which I do have at my house.
I do, too.
Oh, my gosh.
I never waver from Dawn.
Right.
You know why?
It takes grease out
of your way. Exactly.
Oh, my gosh. Followed by Oral-B, Hershey's, Band-Aid, and Duracell.
I don't get the Oral-B one.
It was a big toothbrush with the dentist back in the day.
No, I know that, but that's okay.
Ethan, are you Z?
Yes.
The most trusted brand for Z is YouTube.
Isn't
that bizarre?
That is bizarre.
Followed by Band-Aid, Dawn dish soap, Costco, and Google.
Generational, multi-generational run here for Dawn dish soap.
How did they get to the pretty kids?
And Band-Aid.
No kidding, yeah.
And you know why? Because Band-Aids are stuck on you. I mean, if you think about all that marketing, and I still look at these insurance companies these days, like Progressive and the funny commercials, they're not for those of us who already have insurance. They're for younger people who will end up getting insurance. I'm totally convinced of that.
By the way, if you're a millennial, your most trusted brand is Google, followed by PayPal, YouTube, and Dawn dish soap.
Oh my God.
Running the tables.
No
with
kidding.
Dawn.
Multi-generational.
Those poor people trust the United Postal Service.
Well,
not the rest of the
state. I got a lot to learn there.
Sorry about that. And finally, in Sue's news, we have today's random fact. Orcas are natural predators of moose. Moose can actually swim slightly fast, so they dive for food, and every now and then a whale will get them.
Wow.
And that's it for today's random fact.
That's crazy.
You remember Norm McCrade, who used to come in from Canada with the All Canada show?
Yeah.
He would tell me, because we would talk hunting, and a moose is the only animal that you will hunt that if you miss them or if you anger them, they'll come after you as well. But the orca, I guess, wins that battle in those instances. Elliot Davis is coming up right after the break.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
I have not visited with Jerry Baker. I'm a big fan of Jerry's. I love his work at the Wall Street Journal. He is an editor at large, writes a column on a regular basis. We'll talk Iran and some things related to New York with Jerry after 5 o'clock. And then, Sue, I don't know if you saw this story in the local paper about the population growth. And, you know, St. Louis is not heading in the right direction.
Right.
It begs the question, you know, how long can this city actually survive, or how can it rebound? And I have this dinner, like quarterly, with Jeff Rainford, who's the mayor's former chief of staff for Mayor Slay, and Rex Singfield, who's involved in a lot of issues. And we had dinners about 2 months ago, and we talked about this very topic. So piggybacking off the article in our local paper, which I think was in Monday's edition, probably in Tuesday's printed edition because they have to print it in Columbia. But Jeff's going to weigh in on that in the next hour. Plus, we'll have audio cut of the day. On the topic of reporters, local rabble-rouser, retired Fox 2 investigative reporter Elliot Davis back with us this afternoon to talk about several topics. Elliot, how are you? Good afternoon. Hope you're surviving the heat.
I'm doing great. I think I'm the busiest retired guy in St. Louis.
You seem to be from your Facebook post. And I mentioned the heat because, look, we've talked about this the last couple of days. I can't even imagine having to work outside. You know, we sit here and quite candidly, we bitch about how cold our studio is because it's 68 degrees. I have to wear a hoodie a la John Fetterman every day. But I can't even imagine being out there and having to work in this. But I know you're working with some of the homeless people who are out there and they don't even have shelters from some of this as well. That's one of your motivations right now, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I've been out there since the heat wave began. Been taking ice, cold water, and yesterday was Gatorade. But we started Monday taking items out, and I think a number of people are doing that too. But when I get there, there's usually no ice left, nothing. And so we go and we get 20 or 30. We've been increasing it each day, the number of bags of ice that we take out there, because the people, it's just a scorcher. obviously, and the people, it is a real struggle out there, you know, as I deal with all the folks. So that's what I've been doing. Like I said, I've done it 2 days so far, getting ready to do a third. A lot been going on today. But one of the things that I've been saying, and you know, I'm going to be a kinder, gentler Elliot today.
Look at that. Wow. Are we prepared for that? That's interesting. So, you know, go ahead, though. So I want to hear this.
I'm getting ready to launch this kinder, gentler Elliot. That you haven't seen it yet. But one of the things I've said, Mark, is that the city has done nothing for the people in the homeless encampment. I would have thought that the city or the mayor or somebody or the mayor would have directed her city agencies. I'm not saying she has to do everything because she's got a ton of things, but she has people working for her. Nobody had been out there from the city to do anything. And there's 46 people at this homeless encampment. And so...
Where is it, by the way? Where, because it used to be over by the dilapidated courts building in City Hall, then that came down, and then they kind of moved here to this park that's immediately to the west of where we sit at Park Pacific between 13th and 14th Street right off Olive, but I haven't even seen them out there in, you know, the last week or so.
10th and Cass.
Okay.
And there are about 46 people who stay there, bunch of tents set up. Like I said, it's about 46 folks. It's actually growing. And so my contention is that the city certainly could go check on these people, send your health department people out there, make sure no one has medical issues, send human services out there to pass out bottles. I have consistently been calling on Mayor Kara Spencer to go out there. Even before the tornado, I said, look, I talked to the leaders of the encampment. They wanted to be able to meet the mayor to tell her what's going on. Here's what we need, because we couldn't get anything under Tashara Jones when she was the mayor. I was trying. That's why I'm paying $500 a month for a dumpster.
Yeah.
For everybody so they can have trash.
No, what you got from Tashara was fencing around City Hall and Pelker Park and the courts building for like 18 months. That's what you got from her.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
But Kara is not doing anything for them either. And so we're going through, and I always say, just like when we started talking about the Ram settlement money, and I initially started saying, hey, the city should spend that money, some of it anyway, and they finally, of course, came around. But my feeling is that if you're not going to go out there and check on these people when there is a heat wave, with temperatures reaching 100 degrees, when are you going to get a homeless program? When are you going to check on people who are homeless in the city, and this is a big encampment.
Okay,
so I've been going up and I've been calling on the mayor to do
that. That is a valid, I understand your point on that, but what happens, and I go way back to the 1980s with Larry Rice in the homeless situation when I was in Columbia as I was a budding journalist, and obviously Larry's name is not mentioned as much in coordination with this right now, but it's always been a situation in my eyes, and you tell me if this is wrong, that there are opportunities for the homeless population to go into shelters, to seek, you know, relief from the heat and get food, but a lot of the folks that are in the encampments, they don't want to do that because they don't want to play by the rules, and they just refuse to do it. So isn't there that component that exists a little bit as well?
Let me answer that question. Many of them, they carry all their belongings on their back, and often they can't bring their belongings into the shelter. And if they leave it someplace, they risk their stuff getting stolen. That's why a lot of them don't go into the shelter. So if you have to carry all the contents of your house around every place you went, and that was on your back, and then you got to, they said, okay, you can come to the library, but you can't bring all your stuff in the library. So what choice do you, what do you make? What do you do? And so all the valuables, valuable to you, all the stuff that you have is on your back. You can't bring that. If you leave it outside, it's going to get stolen. If you leave it in a tent, it could get stolen. And so people make those kinds of choices.
And I get that as well.
Just like we interviewed the lady who was lost her house in the tornado. Tornado flattened her house, and she pitched a tent right next to her house. Didn't want to leave her stuff.
I understand that aspect, too. But what was the intersection over by Chippewa and Ted Drew's where somebody basically just camped out in front of this person's house, and they were there for, like, years, and it was basically on the, you know, the area that the homeowner didn't own, the city owned, the city didn't do anything about that. So you do have situations where actual homeowners are affected by these things as well, and then residents don't feel safe if they're coming downtown. I know I've seen a lot of drug activity with the homeless people. It's outside of the homeless people as well, even in this little three-block area where we work here. So that's also a concern when these things happen, I think.
Yeah, it is. When you get into a residential area, that's a whole different That's a whole different animal over there. When you're talking about those situations, someone's camped out in front of a house. These people are kind of in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
There's vacant lots all around them. So it's not like they are in the middle of a neighborhood. They're on this vacant lot, and they're there with the permission of the landowner. It's a privately owned plot of land. And so I'm saying, as long as like they're not in a neighborhood, right? And so as long as you have these 46 people out there, they're human beings too. And they should have, if we're paying all this money to the city, is getting like $17 million a year to help the homeless.
Yeah, what are they doing with it? Right. It's a resources issue. Yeah, I get it. I get it. By the way, when you first came on, you said, I'm taking ICE. I thought you meant you were taking ICE agents out there, you know, around the city. You kind of shocked me there. I do want your opinion on Sheriff Montgomery. A.G. Bailey was in the studio with me in the last hour. He's trying to file a quo-ronto, as they say, quo-ronto, which they did with Kim Gardner. He did that today to remove him from office. Have you been on that story?
Of course I have.
Of course.
I was at his news conference today. But I'm the only reporter to sit down in a one-on-one interview with the sheriff. And we did that on Friday. So I actually did get a chance to talk to him as well, one-on-one, and ask him all the questions I wanted.
Is what he has done, it's been well documented on this show, on local media, in, you know, STL Today, you've talked about, are his decisions and his behavior defensible in any way?
He made some bad decisions.
Okay, well, at least we can agree on that, right?
I mean, there's no rolling golden dice
for someone's job.
For someone to keep their job.
Yeah.
Handcuffing the jail commissioner, deputy jail commissioner, because you want to get in to interview somebody. Getting rid of all the people who the predecessors' folks, when you come into office, and then you, by doing so, you blow a $400,000 hole in your budget, telling the city, well, we're not going to haul medical people who need to go to emergency room anymore. We're not going to carry them. I mean, so how are they supposed to get to the hospital? They're in jail. They can't just walk out the door and go themselves. So just a lot of things. And then when you've got that big a hole in your budget, right, you're saying, okay, I don't have money to carry these inmates to the hospital. I got no money for that. But I can get a $56,000 Chevy.
Right. So going back to my question, Elliot, I mean, were his answers, and I apologize, I haven't watched the interview, were his answers in any way, shape, or form feasible?
Not really.
Okay, I'm going to take that as a no.
let me take that. It's probably feasible to him.
Right.
But to me, listening to it, a lot of it just did not make sense.
Yeah.
It's not what the, and I asked him, and he was gracious enough to sit down and talk to me, but I asked him, I said, but who, one thing like he did with the $30,000 for 250 new gold badges. And I just said, well, who does that? And I asked.
And what did he say? He says, I do. Yeah.
Well, and he proceeded to give me his long answer for it. But there are a lot of number of things and answers. And this is what the attorney general was saying. But the attorney general, as you know, you talked to him, he went one step further. He has about, I don't know, 8 different things down or something. And he says any one of them, he says, would be grounds to throw the sheriff out of office. Sheriff believes he can defend all of this stuff.
Yeah, we'll see what happens there. I do not have a lot of time, so I probably only have like a minute and a half, and I'd love to get your thoughts, though. I had Governor Kehoe on last night. I candidly was a little disappointed with the appointments to the St. Louis Police Board, which was just, announced a couple of days ago. Your thoughts on that? And, you know, obviously there's complaints from a bunch of different sides, I think, on this one.
I think since the city is half black, then the police board should have been half minority. That's my opinion. And I think that there should have been some agreed upon, you know, civic leaders. That doesn't mean you can't have business people on. But, you know, I would have liked to have seen some other people on, like a Mike McMillan, for example, on the police board. And some people that the community, the African-American community, can say, OK, here's our guy. We don't expect to get everybody on. I do like the fact that he picked Sonya Gray, Sonya Jenkins Gray, because I did stories on her when she was battling Tashara. So that's a personal deal, like her on.
Well, and I understand but it was 5 white guys and business owners and then her, right?
And so there's nobody really that the community really knows. you know, on that board. Nobody's going to say, oh, yeah, I know them. Okay. They've got some gravitas. And not taking anything away from the people that they pick, but I think when you've got a city that half black and you got a police department that's going to be dealing with 80% or 70% black suspects in a lot of these cases, homicides and other, the police, the Board of Police Commissioners should have reflected the community. Yeah. This one doesn't.
I am not a quota person, but I do not disagree with you on that particular issue. So I was a little surprised, but we'll have to see. The governor defended those choices last night on this show. Elliot, great to have you on. Keep on them. I appreciate it.
Always good.
All right.
Thank you,
take
buddy.
Care. So many times here on a Wednesday edition of the show, we visit with Alex Rich, who is a personal friend of mine. He's a good radio friend as well, and we talk about fun things on a Wednesday afternoon. He is not here today because his wedding is now, Sue, we've talked about this for a long time, just 3 days away. But I've invited him to spend a few minutes with us this afternoon. You guys will find this funny story because I was honored enough to be, because we're friends, we've hung out together, invited to the ceremony and to the wedding. And I actually had to text you today and ask you what question, Alex.
Well, it doesn't matter if it's a business meeting, a round of golf, or even your wedding.
Yeah.
But Mark had to text me and say, hey, just to confirm, what time, not only what time, where is the wedding at?
Yeah. Wow. I had no idea. But I am consistent. You're right. In anything that happens in my life, I always have to text the person and say, hey, where is that meeting again? So I
guess you didn't have an invitation
I did, but I didn't have it handy.
Well, you're supposed
to. He had the invitation, and he had the wedding website as well, which is unfortunate because today was totally my out to finally just tell Mark. I could have told Mark that the wedding was anywhere, and he would have shown up. I should have told him a fake location.
Once you reminded me that it's at Union Station, I did remember that.
That's going to be beautiful.
But look, this is like a 3-day event, right? You got the rehearsal dinner tomorrow night. It's not the night before. You have the welcome party. I don't think I'm invited to the welcome party.
You're not from out of town.
No,
it's like a Bezos event.
Yeah, what is the welcome
party?
Really,
you're never welcome.
Right, but what is the welcome party? What does that entail? How is that different from the rehearsal dinner?
So this is the thing I am a millennial. This is the thing that these millennials are doing these days, especially for the people that are from out of town. You know, not everybody is invited to the rehearsal dinner. We got a big wedding party. It's obviously for the family and people that are there to actually rehearse the ceremony. And so we're doing that Thursday night. And then Friday is indeed the welcome party. So we do a little gathering, little appetizers, some drinks. And we're doing that at the Boathouse at Forest Park. And it's really for the people from out of town, because the reality is at the wedding, you know, we don't really get to totally hang out with our friends from out of town and talk as much as we'd like.
No, so I get that for
that's
sure.
That's where we use the welcome party as an opportunity to do that. So we're excited. We hope it cools off a little bit.
Yeah,
but
no
we're
kidding.
Excited about doing that.
But
yeah.
The ceremony then is at 2:00 on Saturday at the Piper Palm House, and then the reception is at 5:30 until midnight. I don't think I'm going to make it to the ceremony, but we are going to make it to the reception. I boarded the puppy to make sure that we don't have to worry about the puppy.
Nice.
Alex, you have not met the puppy. You have not met Max yet. We're going to get a play date.
I've not met Max yet. I know. We need to set that up. And the other thing I'd like to mention is it's a very, and again, we're talking consistency with Mark Reardon. I myself am, look, the reality is Mark could have just not shown up to the ceremony. I honestly wouldn't have known the difference. There's 200 people there, right? Mark even did me the courtesy and just straight up said, hey, we're not going to be at the ceremony. We'll come to the party.
I could have lied. I could have lied.
Totally.
What a beautiful, I will tell Annie, shh, don't tell Annie, okay? I'm going to say, oh my God, the ceremony, I always cry at weddings and I cried. The ceremony was beautiful, but good luck this weekend. I know there's a lot. Hey, is Vic in the wedding party?
He's in the wedding party.
I'm
hoping
wait.
There might be a little surprise there with it as well. And I'll make sure security escorts you out as early as possible.
We'll see you Saturday night, okay?
All right, we'll see you guys. Right. Thanks so much.
Vic Oladipo, one of his best friends. Vic was a star basketball player at Indiana. I think he was the number 2 pick in the NBA draft 1 year. He played for multiple teams in the NBA, and he's one of Alex's besties.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.